There we go. We're live.
We're live?
Yep.
All right. You guys with me?
Yes, sir.
Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman. Elohim Tov.
God is good all the time. Wow. I'm reading this card. Well, I read it before, but I like it. This is from, what's her name? Arlene Schroeder. She lives in Rainier, Washington.
Be sure to tell her I got mine too.
Oh, you got one too from her?
No.
No, this one. This is another one. This is from Rainier, Washington. And very nice card. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. P.S. Special thanks to you for the dog tag. She got her dog tag too.
Oh, good.
Thank you, Lynn.
Pastor, hold the shirt up.
Oh, hold up. Wait a minute. Let me show you my other card. Hold up before I show you the shirt. I'm going to do a contest.
This is my card right here. Thank you.
Those? Okay. So what's her name, though?
Oh.
Is Purdue.
This is
Lee and Cynthia Purdue.
There you go.
And we have heard it said that only weak people believe in God or follow Jesus. Perhaps they should ask the 12 apostles their opinion. I like that. Okay, with all our love, Lee and Cynthia Purdue. So thank you for this beautiful card. I like Pastor Ben's too, but yeah. I like mine better. I got to use this. This is so nice. Okay. All right, you guys ready for a Bible study? Do you have your Bible study material?
T-shirt, Pastor
Sandy. Huh? I'm going to show them that T-shirt. I'm going to put this T-shirt up for contest winner. We're going to ask a question. We're going to do a contest winner tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
That's the T-shirt. What does it say?
Wake up!
Wake up!
Oh, there is still time.
And a dog is barking. 14. You know, Tahira came over my house and heard that dog barking, too. She said, is that the dog? I said, that's him. That dog just won't be quiet. She say, just like you, Pastor Ben. I mean, Pastor Sin. So that's a good T-shirt, Pastor Ben.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Today's Bible study is from God. I'm kind of putting it off on him because all of this information was given to me this morning by the Lord to teach you tonight so that you can understand how important the marriage is, how important the rapture is, how important you leaving on time is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that again, how important you leaving on time is.
Yes.
Okay? Because if you don't leave on time, you're in a big mess.
Big mess.
Also, Shana Tova to Hakol Havarim BeYisrael, those in Tel Aviv, and I can't pronounce the other place where they live. But Shana Tova, I hope you had a great celebration. For us, there was no rapture on Rosh Hashanah, but I was not expecting a rapture on Rosh Hashanah. I expect a Rosh Hashanah rapture at the end of the tribulation.
Yeah.
But there is a date that concerned me, and I was wondering why nobody was really talking about it. And because Rosh Hashanah used to be the first month of the year. And the second month of the year was Heshvan, which was on Heshvan 10th, they went into the ark, and on the 17th, the flood began. So Heshvan 10 is November 8th. So I was wondering why nobody was really talking about that, because I wasn't really thinking about Rosh Hashanah at all, but I was thinking about Heshvan, because that was the month that go into the ark, and then 7 days later, the flood started. So I said, let me see if anyone else is thinking about that. And I knew the guy to go to, and his name is Dan Mattson, and he stays on top of everything. He has a crazy brain for numbers. And so I said, let me go on Dan Mattson's Signs of the End website. So I went on his website, and he had this up, and I said, wow. Now that's something to look at and keep my eyes open about. Okay, you guys remember the Revelation 12 sign that happened in 2017 on September 22nd and 23rd? Well, evening was the 22nd and 23rd. And that's when the sign of the Revelation 12, the woman in the sky, that sign happened then, and that began this prophecy. Well, anyway, exactly 777 days after that will be the 10th of Hezron, which is the day you're supposed to go into the ark. And then this past Pentecost, which was 6-9, and I'm not talking about 2017, I'm talking about 2019. 6-9-2019, okay, I think, is 153 days to Hezron, the 10th of Hezron. So I hope I got that right and I didn't mess up Dan Madsen's numbers. But those two numbers are very important, 777 and 153, which is definitely the number of fish that were caught and that whole rapture scenario in John 21. So I thought those two days were very interesting. So if anybody's watching for important dates, I think Dan Madsen hit it on the nose, because those are the dates that I would be looking at right now. Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay. We are talking about today one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And I want you to know why I'm looking at this letter, because I want you guys to understand typologies, okay? What are typologies? I'm acting like I'm in class. You guys know what typologies are? You know what typologies are? A typology is something that God tells you about in the Old Testament, but he's only telling you about that so that he can fulfill it in the New Testament. Like the typology of the lamb that's in Egypt, okay? We know that the lamb that was killed in Egypt and the blood that was placed on the door was really a typology of a future lamb that would die on the cross, and his blood would save us from death. We'll look at that typology more. But that's what a typology is. So that you understand that God has already told the story, okay? And so you can expect the typologies to come to pass, okay? One of the typologies in Scripture is the marriage of Adam, okay? And how did Adam get his wife?
God brought
him. Huh? Well, he had to go through quite a few things before he got his wife. He didn't just get his wife. You know what I mean? First, he had to be put to sleep.
Yeah.
Then he had to be cut aside. Then take out the part that I'm going to make your bride with. And then I'll wake you up. Then I'll bring you the bride, right? So he went through a process. And he went through the same process that Christ went through, because Christ also wanted a bride, but the same price would have to be paid for his bride that Adam paid for his bride. He would have to be put to sleep. He would have to be pierced in the side. Those are what the scriptures call typologies, okay? And so these typologies are telling you about what God is planning on doing and how he's going to fulfill it. But he puts it in detail in scripture in the Old Testament, so when it comes to pass in the New Testament, or when it comes to pass in true life, you know that the typology has already been done. I'll give you another typology that came true in our lifetime, was that in the book of Esther, when Haman was trying to kill every Jew, right? Now, Haman was a typology. We didn't know that Haman was a typology, but you know that the Bible is prophetic. If it's talking about something in the Old Testament, you're looking for the typology to manifest itself, because that's going to come true one day. So Haman was trying to kill every Jew. He ended up dying himself. And then after he died, the king asked the queen, what else can I do for you? And she said, hang his 10 sons also. So the king also hangs Haman's 10 sons, and they get hung. And then God put inside of their name, jots and tittles, which gave you the year that this event is going to happen again. Yeah. Okay. And it happened to be exactly in the year 1946 during the Nuremberg trials, or 5707 during the Nuremberg trials. And it happened exactly in the year that God had already mentioned in the book of Esther that Hitler tried to kill every Jew. And then after, in the Nuremberg trial, they said, now kill Hitler's 10 top sons. And so that typology was already sitting there in Esther. It was just waiting to be fulfilled. You understand? Mm-hmm. Like the lamb had already been done in Egypt. It was waiting to be fulfilled. And so Christ had to come and fulfill it. All of these typologies are in Scripture, and God has already placed them there to let you know what he's doing at a future time. Amen. The spirit of the Word of God is prophecy. Okay? He's not just telling you something so that you know now. He's telling you something because this is what he's going to do in the future. And you can be sure of it, okay? Now, we're studying this letter here. And this letter here is called Samech, okay? Samech is a letter, and it is the 15th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, okay? Now, I'm going to show you how to write 15 in Hebrew with a yod and a hey. What does that spell? Yah. Okay? So if you're writing 15 in Hebrew, you would write yod and a hey. But if you're Jewish, you're not going to do that because they're not allowed to write the name of God, right? So when they get to 15, they write a tet, which is a 9, and a vav, which is a 6. Because they're not allowed to write the name Yod Heh, right? So, but the name, the number is 15. So Samech, being the 15th letter, equals Yah, God, okay? Now, when you spell out the word Samech, because the letters are words, Samech, which means support, it has a numerical value of 120, okay? Now, that's very important because we're looking at right now all the 120-year prophecies, okay? We're looking at the 120-year prophecies. What are the 120-year prophecies? It will be as it was in the days of Noah. What did God tell Noah? My spirit will not always dwell with man. His time shall be 120 years. Then he says what? Then my spirit is going to be removed from them at the end of 120 years. And at the end of 120 years, the flood happened and God brought disaster upon them and the rescue of Noah and the eight, right? Amen. Or Noah and the seven. I'm on Pastor Ben's study. Oh. So you guys... So I'm trying to explain this all to you because there's a very important thing why Samech would equal out 120. God does not do things accidentally. So I'm going to read something about Samech, okay? And then maybe you'll be able to see where we're going here, okay? Now it says, the first Samech in the Torah with regard to living beings appear in the narrative of the creation of Eve. So when God created Eve is the first time you see the letter Samech, which means support, helper, helpmate, right? So God creates Eve, but he uses this word Samech, which is Yahweh, okay? So, Samech has meanings. It means support. It can mean pillars, the congregation, like the congregation of the church, right? Pillars is also the church. We'll look at that. Perfection, how is she perfected? Through Christ's blood. Saved, we are saved how? Through Christ's blood. And also she is the strength, okay? And that is a message about marriage, which you've never seen me do a marriage counseling. You would understand Samech, because I have to talk about Samech just so a husband can even understand what he's doing and who he's marrying and how to get the best out of his wife, right? Because if you know who she is and why God's given her to you, then you can get the best out of her. So, because the woman becomes what the scripture says, I'm going to give him a helpmate. This is Samech, okay? I'm going to give him a helpmate, someone to support him, someone to be a pillar to him, okay? Then, now, if you times, if you're looking at your page, if you times Samech times 8, So if you times 15, if you times 15 times 8, then you're going to come up with 120, which is the same numerical value as Samech, which is 120. But what is 8? What is the number 8? The number 8 is what? Jesus Christ, the new beginning. So 15 is what? Yah, which is God. So God, Yahweh, plus Jesus Christ equals what? 120, which is what? Samech, the bride. Okay? So if you do 15 times 24, it turns out to be 360. Why? 360 is what you get with Samech, a complete circle. Okay? She is called the support, the strength, the protection. And this is the bride is Samech, okay? The bride is Samech. She is the helpmate. Now, Jesus wanted a bride. God wanted a bride. Since God wanted a bride, he did a typology to show you what it takes to get a bride, okay? What does it take to get a bride?
Bloodshed.
Huh? You might as well say it. Don't scare the husbands all over the world. But that's it. So God is saying to everybody who wants to be a husband, right? If you want to be a husband, you're going to have to die.
Yeah.
You're going to have to die. Now, it's not physical with us, but we have to die. If you want a wife, you're going to have to die to self, okay? You're going to have to say, okay, I'm now not the most important thing. My bride is the most important thing. This is what Christ did. He came and he died for who? For his bride, so that she could have life, right? Now, what does he do after he died? He's building her up in the word, okay? His wife becomes center of the whole project. You understand? If Pastor Ben, your wife is the center of your life.
Yes.
My wife is the center. Who said that? A comedian said, happy wife, happy life?
Yeah.
She has to be the center, right?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ has the bride as the center of everything that he's doing right now, okay?
Yeah.
And so Samech, that letter, which is 120, is the bride, okay? Let me get to my... Okay, so we're going to look at typologies before we go back to Samech, okay? Let's look at the typology of the Exodus. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Now, first I'm going to read the story, and then we're going to talk about how did God fulfill this story, okay?
Amen.
Because things are being spoken of because they're going to be fulfilled. Have I made that clear?
Amen.
Okay. It said, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. Okay, what's about to happen here? They are about to come out of Egypt. Okay? God is telling them, I know this month used to be the seventh month of the year, but now it's going to be the first month of the year for you. Okay? And he says, now this is what I want you to do. He says, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household, on the 10th of Nisan, because now Nisan's the first month. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with the nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people who are there. It says you are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with each person will eat. The animal you choose must be a year old male without defect, okay? And you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them. When? At twilight. So on the 10th day of the month, they're going to go and get a lamb. On the 14th day of the month, they're going to slaughter the lamb, but not in the morning time. They got to wait till twilight. You understand? So now, let's continue. It says, then they are to take some of the blood and put on the sides and the top of the door frame of the house where they eat the lamb. The same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over fire and herbs. Okay, so now here we are. We have this lamb. They take him on the 10th. They take care of it to the 14th. If the lamb has defections by the 14th, you no longer can sacrifice that lamb. It has to be without defect. Okay? So they're looking at the lamb, making sure he's inspected for the 4 days, because on the fourth day they know at twilight they're going to kill this lamb. They're going to take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorposts of their home. Why? The death angel is coming. And the death angel is going to kill everybody in every home that does not have the blood of the lamb on the door. Okay?
Amen.
Now, the lamb dying on the 14th of Nisan. What day did Jesus Christ die on the cross? On the 14th of Nisan. Now listen, after they did this for 2,000 years until Jesus is born, they have to practice this every year. So this didn't stop this year because they came out of Egypt. God commanded them every year, you're going to celebrate by taking a lamb and killing that lamb at twilight. For the next 2,000 years, you're going to practice this, okay? And you're going to take the blood of that lamb, and that lamb's blood will cover your sins, okay? So for 2,000 years, every year, on the 14th of Nisan, well, on the 10th, they'd all go out and get a lamb. On the 14th, they'd all wait till twilight. Then they'd kill the lamb. They'd take the blood, and that would be that blood of that lamb would be the covering of the sins for the people for the next year.
Yeah.
Okay? Every year. Now, the blood on the door, saving us from death. Was there ever, because that has to be fulfilled as well, was there ever blood on the door in the future that saves us from death?
Yes.
Who's the door?
Christ is the door.
Jesus. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Delete. Delete in Hebrew means door. It's the fourth letter.
Yeah.
If you look at this, what I gave you, the fourth letter is the middle of the menorah. It is the servant lamp. It is where the oil flows from, which is Christ. The door is Christ. Now, in the future, was there blood on the door while Christ was on the cross? Yes. So God fulfilled that typology in making sure not only does the lamb die on the 14th, but also making sure that there's blood on the door, which is Christ. And how many spots of blood, he said? Three spots of blood. So now you have the lamb on the cross. He has blood in his hands, his feet, three spots, and he's fulfilled that prophecy.
Yes.
Now, there's another prophecy that says that no bones can be broken on the lamb. He has to be perfect, right? So they were going to break Christ's bones while he was on the cross, but they decided not to. Why? To fulfill prophecy. What is this called? This is called keeping the whole typology, because Christ told the story so that it can be fulfilled, not halfway, but in perfection, okay? So now you see that this that happened before was only a setup to happen later, okay? Was that the first typology of Jesus Christ's death on the cross? No, right?
Amen.
We got to talk about Abraham. We have to talk about taking his son Isaac, the trip taking 3 days to get there, placing him on the altar to sacrifice him, but on the third day deciding not to, and then getting his son back, okay? The same typologies, but typologies are written to be fulfilled. What I'm trying to explain to you is that Semech is 120, and Semech is the bride. It's written as 120 to be fulfilled, okay? Let's look at another. Okay. We talked about the typology of Adam. How many Adams are there in the Bible?
Two.
First Adam and the last Adam, which is the second Adam. The first Adam being the one who received Eve as a bride. The second Adam being the one who receives the church as a bride. Okay? Are you getting this yet? Semech is 120 for a reason, okay? Because Semech is going to tell you the typology of when it's going to happen, who the church is, and why it's going to happen. So now the second Adam comes into the world, and he has to fulfill what the first Adam did. And what did the first Adam do? Let's see here. Let's see. Oh, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Okay.
I'm sorry. What?
We're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Now, this is my question to you. Did Adam die because of his wife, or did Adam die for his wife?
For.
See, you guys are too smart. Because most people say, well, if she hadn't listened to the serpent, and then the serpent hadn't tricked her, and then she gave some to her husband, you know? See, because we're acting like Adam was off somewhere and didn't know anything about it, and then he just stumbled over, and she said, and he goes, is that an apple from the wrong tree? And she's like, no, but please have some with me. They're delicious, right? Uh-huh. That's not how it happened. Okay? Adam was not too far from her.
Right.
But from the speech that was given by the serpent, Adam was not deceived by what the serpent had said. But it was the woman who looked at the tree and said, I am going to, they look delicious, okay? Now, so let's read this scripture, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. And it says, and Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner, okay? So the woman was the one who was deceived. So if Adam was not deceived and he knew if you ate of it, you was going to die, why did Adam go ahead and eat from the plant, I mean from the fruit, if he knew that it was going to cause his death? He didn't want her to die alone. So Adam died with his bride. He chose to experience death with his bride. Okay? Christ is the second Adam. Okay? Has Christ been deceived?
No.
Does Christ know that his bride is going to die?
Yes.
But he wants to experience death with you, and his death is going to save you and give you eternal life.
Amen.
So who is the greater Adam, the first Adam or the second Adam?
Second Adam?
The second Adam is the greater Adam, but the second Adam came to fulfill what the first Adam had already done. And what did the first Adam do? He knew, when Christ knew, when he came into the world, that he was here for the purpose of dying so that he could gain a bride. Okay, the whole purpose of dying was to gain a bride, because through his death is going to come his bride.
Amen.
Okay, so let's look at this. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. I wrote 21, but it shouldn't be 21. It should be chapter 2, verse 21. Let's go there. And it says, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of the ribs and closed it up, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Okay, in that scripture, then it says, and the rib which the Lord had taken from the man, he made a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Okay, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, right? Why did Adam say this? Because here was somebody that was exactly like him. The second Adam. God brings the bride to Adam, and Adam looks at her and says, wow, someone just like me. When God brings the bride to the second Adam, you have to be just like Christ.
Yeah.
And what kind of body is Christ in? He's in a resurrected body.
Yeah.
So that means when you're brought to Christ, you have to be in a resurrected body. You understand? So this is the purpose of the rapture. The purpose of the rapture is Christ wants a bride. The bride is in the flesh. He has to go. He dies for her. But when you are brought to Christ, you're coming resurrected. You're coming in a new body, so that Christ can say what the first Adam said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, the same is me. Okay?
Yes.
So these are the things that typologies have to fulfill, so that you understand that God did not write things just to write them. He wrote them because he's going to fulfill them. Okay? Let me see if I have another one here. Okay. Now watch this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Why do you think Revelation chapter 4 says there's a door standing open in heaven? Why do you think Revelation chapter 4 says, there was a door standing open in heaven and a trumpet, blah, and I heard a voice say, come up here. Why is it in chapter 4? Because Aleph, Bet, Gamel, delete, right? The door is in heaven. He's calling them up and he's saying, come up here, right? Because now, did God just accidentally put it in chapter 4? You know what I mean? This is what the Lord is trying to say. I'm not doing things haphazardly. I'm doing things with a plan. So I'm giving you a letter. The letter is Samech, okay? Samech is 15. Times it times Jesus is 120, okay? Which 120 is what? The helpmate, the support, the pillar, the congregation, her that is perfected and saved, who has strength. So God is saving the bride, okay? And the bride, as we read in this great book that I have, called the it's called Wisdom of the Hebrew Alphabet, says here.
Someone was asking if you spelled Samech correctly.
I spelled it correctly in Hebrew. I don't know if I spelled it correctly in English. Okay, so it says the first Samech in the Torah with regard to living beings appears in the narrative of the creation of Eve. So the Samech and the bride are interlinked. Understand? This is why it is 120. So let's look at the 120.
Genesis 6.
Genesis chapter 6.
And what verse?
We're going to be at verse 3, I believe. And it says, the Lord said to my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, what does it mean to strive with? That means I'm among you, right? God is saying, my spirit is not going to always strive with man, okay? His days shall be 120 years. And at the end of 120 years, what is God going to do? I'm taking my spirit away from the dwelling of man, okay? Why would God take his Holy Spirit out of the earth, away from the dwelling of man? And he says he's going to do it in 120 years, okay? So now that typology has to now be fulfilled, okay? Because God didn't write 120 years for his health.
Right.
He didn't write it so that he could trick you. He wrote it because, as all the other typologies, I'm writing this so that you know when I'm going to do something and how I'm going to do something. So at the end of 120 years, the spirit being removed from the earth, why would the spirit be removed from the earth, though? Why is the Holy Spirit here? Why is the Holy Spirit here? What's the Holy Spirit's name? Eleazar. Why is God's helper? Why is the helper here? What did Abraham tell the helper to do? Go and get a bride for my son. And when you get the bride for my son, you bring her back here. He said, no, if she doesn't want to come, can I take your son there? No, do not take my son back there. You bring her here. So Eleazar goes and he sees this beautiful woman. He convinces her to come back and marry Isaac, right? He puts her on a camel and he brings her back. So Eleazar, the Holy Spirit, was living among those people. But when it was time, he had to put her on the camel and take her back to the master's house to marry the son. This typology is in progress right now, but Eleazar is still here. But he still has to deliver you back to the son, okay? Amen. So when he leaves, we leave. Eleazar wouldn't dare go back to Abraham without a bride. But he's leaving. And the scripture says, I'm going to give you a 120-year count. and then that's when I'm going to take it. Okay, let's look at something else. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 34. We're going to be in verse 7. And it says here, Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days until the time of the weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him, so that the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded. So the transferring of power has been changed. How old is Moses? 120 years. And he gives power over to who? Yahshua. Yahshua. There's no J in Hebrew. You understand? We say Jesus, Yahshua. So, at the end of the 120, God's saying there is a transfer of power from one to Yeshua at the end of 120. But what 120? Because in the Bible, we have the fulfillment of 220s. What's the first 120 that was fulfilled? The 120 Jubilees.
Yeah.
How long is a Jubilee? 50 years. 50 times 120 is what? 6,000. From Adam to the 6,000th year, 2017, was the end of the 120th Jubilee. Was the typology fulfilled? No. We just know that Psalms 117 spoke of the separation and it divided the Bible, but there was no fulfillment of the bride in the 120 Jubilees. But the typology was not 120 Jubilees. What was the typology? 120 years. So I'm going to go back to this. Semek, 15th letter, directly from God, is who? This bride. Semek, written out in letter form, equals 120. 15 times 8, meaning Yahweh times Jesus, equals 120. Okay? So 24 times the 15 equals 360, which is what? It's a perfect circle. So now we understand. The prophecy is 120 years. Did God give us an additional 120 year count leading up to the judgment? Because remember what happened when he told Noah. He said, Noah, you have 120 years. Then what's going to happen in 120 years? What's going to happen? There's a flood. There's destruction. For who? For the people who what? Were not on the ark. Not for the people who were on the ark. Are we on the ark right now?
Yes.
We're in Christ. Christ is a typology of the ark. Why? How can Christ be a typology of the ark? Because you have a way of salvation, but there's only one door on the ark. And in the story, God made sure that you knew there's only one door. And who's the person that closed that door? Noah certainly did not close the door. God closed the door. When God closes the door on the ark, it is time to go. Now you're going to have joy going up and torment and trouble.
Yes.
Down here.
Yes.
And who's going up in the ark? The Holy Spirit taking the bride back to the Father for the wedding. And so Here we are at the 119th year of a 120-year count. When did the 120-year count start?
Psalms
chapter 1, which is what? 1901. So why does everything happen starting in the 1900s? In the 1900s, we have World War I, World War II. And World War I starts on the 9th of Av, on a Hebrew year. We have the recapturing of Jerusalem in 1917 on a Jewish day, Hanukkah. We have the announcement of the Jews going back to the land by the UN in 1917, and it's documented. Then in 1948, they go back, and it's also documented in Psalms. You got Psalms 91, which someone sent me, was God's full protection over Israel because they were shooting Scud missiles at Israel at that time. I forget which war it was, but they started shooting at Israel, and none of the bombs hit Israel in Psalms. Is it Psalms 91? In Psalms 91, in 91 when that war happened. Not one bomb hit them. So it said that Psalms 91 talks about the protection over Israel. So God is like, not only am I giving you a 120-year count, I'm documenting it in the Psalm so that you can see every year what's going on. So we get to Psalms 120. And Psalms 120 just happens to be the Psalm of Ascent. It's the Psalm of Mi'alah. It's the Psalm of going up. Okay? Now, we're in 119, and the rapture does not produce the tribulation. The rapture does not produce the tribulation. When does the tribulation begin?
When the Antichrist signs.
When he confirms the covenant. We're not going to get raptured and he confirms the covenant at the same time.
Right.
We're gone. Remember, there was a flood that lasts 40 days. Okay? Not until they came off the boat. And then when they came down off the boat, then there was somebody there.
Oh, the king.
Who wanted to rule over the whole world, who made an agreement that everyone must stay under his authority and his rulership, right? In Babylon, okay? But it didn't happen at the going up. It happened when the flood was over, okay? So the rapture does not create the tribulation, the signing of the agreement, confirming, I don't want to say the signing, the confirming of the agreement starts the tribulation.
Right.
Okay. Now, with all of these incredible typologies that have happened in the world, Satan is a deceiver, so the world doesn't see it. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
1948 should have made the whole world repent, but the world didn't see it. Because Israel coming back into existence meant nothing to you if you're not following God.
Right.
The UN confirming them to get the land back means nothing to you because you're not following God. You understand? President Trump announcing that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews means nothing to you if you're not following God.
Amen.
But God keeps doing things to show the world that I'm still involved. And Satan keeps doing things to show the world I'm still involved too. So I try to show you the other side. When he buys 30,000 guillotines and sends them to a concentration camp built in Atlanta, I let you know because you need to know that not only is God doing things, the enemy is doing things because they're both being prepared for the same time
right.
That's coming. And so we have to understand that God is fulfilling typologies right in front of our eyes at all time. And now we get to see. And that's what I love about scripture. You can look at the prophecy and now you get to see if it's going to happen. You can sit back and go, this is the season this is the moment. I want to sit back and see if it's going to happen. Okay? Because you're right at 119. And 120 is not far from now. You understand?
10 minutes.
Okay. With 10 minutes left to go, we're going to look at something. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. Chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, so, he's talking to this church of Laodicea, right? And he says, so, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich and have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, blind, and naked. Why does he say naked?
They're not clothed in the spirit.
You're not clothed in the spirit anymore. You're not clothed in the spirit anymore. It is very important that you're living for God, because the garment that you wear, called the Holy Spirit, is with you. A persistent life of sin removes your garment. Once saved, always saved. People hate that.
I know they do.
But it's true. You can't persistently live in sin and have the Holy Spirit live inside. Contrary to popular belief, the Holy Spirit is not sealed inside of you.
He's trapped and locked.
He's not sewed up and can't get out.
Super glue.
Okay? You have a seal that says that you belong to God, a stamp. He's not sealed up inside of you. So a persistent life of sinning removes your garment, okay? Let's look at something else. So, if a person is lukewarm, oh, wow. Would a person know that they're lukewarm if they're lukewarm? Do you think so?
Yeah.
You don't think so?
You know when you're in sin.
You kind of think me and Christ are cool? Because I had a friend.
Blocked it out.
Wait a minute. I remember the friend I had that said, hey, my friend's getting married, and he's having his bachelor party at a strip club, yeah. And he was a Christian, but he said he's going to honor his friend to a strip club. And I was like, but I thought you were a Christian. And he was like, I am. It's just one time with my friend. Is he lukewarm?
I think he is.
I'll answer it. Yes.
I think he is.
Because you didn't have the nerve to say to those people, I'm sorry, I'm a born again Christian. I don't do that. I'm not going with you and have beers and watch naked women.
Right.
So something's wrong with his relationship with God, because the Holy Spirit would have told him that ain't cool.
Right?
You're a born again Christian and your friend just got a new job. Hey, we're all going out to do some shots to celebrate Johnny's new job. As a Christian, are you going? Why not? It's just one drink. You're not going to get drunk.
Abstain from the appearance of evil.
We live by the word. Abstain from the appearance. And look, you've got to take a strong stand against sin, okay?
Amen.
You can't live halfway and halfway. That's called lukewarm, okay? He says those. So when the rapture happens, I want you to know there'll be no lukewarm people going up.
Amen.
I want you to know that, okay?
We know that.
All right. Yeah.
Is it possible to deny yourself to the point where the Holy Spirit just walks away?
What do you mean, deny yourself?
Ignore the word to the point where the Holy Spirit just doesn't talk to you.
That's called being persistent in sin. Mm-hmm. If you're like, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to, the Holy Spirit keeps saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, you need to stop doing this, and you're like, well, I am going to stop, but when I'm ready.
Right.
And
Not now, but I am running.
I want you to read Ezekiel chapter 9. Whoever read that, asked that question, read Ezekiel chapter 9 and remember what the priests were doing inside of the temple.
Yes.
They had been sinning in that temple for quite a while till finally God said, go and have my spirit lift up out of that temple and move out to the outer court away from, because I'm about to destroy everybody in there, right? So you have to understand the first thing that comes with this destruction was get my spirit out of there.
Right.
Okay.
Amen.
Read Ezekiel chapter 9. Okay, let's read here in Matthew chapter 22. And this whole story, I'm gonna paraphrase because I don't have much time. Maybe I can read it. It says, chapter 22, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. Sounds familiar?
Yes.
He sent his servant to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, and they refused. They sent some of their servants and said, tell those who have been invited, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business, and the rest seized his servant, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his army to destroy those murderers. He's talking about them being Israel, refusing to accept Christ. So then in verse 8, he says, here's a new beginning. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those who I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the street and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. The wedding hall was filled. But the king came in to see the guests. He noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. The king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many have been invited, but few have been chosen.
Yeah.
What was he lacking? The garment. Yeah. And I used to have problems with this. I was like, what was he supposed to be wearing? But when I realized from the tarbut, the culture of Israel, the king provides the clothes when you're invited to the kingdom.
Yeah.
When you're invited to a fair and in the palace, the king provides the garments so that everybody who's there have on the same garments, right?
Yeah.
This guy tried to come in and not wear the garment that was issued to him.
Right.
What have we been issued? The Holy Spirit. And when you go into the banquet, you better have that garment on. You understand? Last one, verse 25. We know this as the 10 virgins, right? What's the problem with the 10 virgins?
Five
are ready and five aren't. What are they lacking? Oil in their lamp. They're lacking oil in their lamp. How do you keep the anointing oil in your lamp? Praying, studying your word, spending time with other Christians, fellowshipping. You're trying to make sure your lamp is in an environment that it can stay full, right?
Amen.
If your lamp is going out, you know what that means? You haven't been reading. Look, oil lasts a good time.
Amen.
That means you have to ignore God in reading, in prayer, in fellowship quite often for God to come and find no oil in your lamp. And then when he comes and he says, and he takes them away here, because let's read just the end of this. I love the end of this. And it says, but while they were on their way to buy oil, the ones that weren't ready, the bridegroom arrived, and the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came, sir, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour that your Lord is coming.
Amen.
Is November 8th a solid day? No, you do not know the day or the hour that your Lord is coming.
Amen.
Okay? So understand, nobody's giving you a date. We're saying this is a part of history.
Right.
Okay? They went into the ark on the 10th of Heshvan, and 7 days later the flood started. That's something we need to look at, okay?
Amen.
But that's not a promise. You understand?
Amen.
Your job is to, what if it happened before? You know what I mean? What if it happens before that day? Your job is to stay ready, stay prepared, watch, and be ready to go. Because the whole world, really, in absolute truth, the whole world should be talking about the rapture.
Yeah.
And being ready. If we were not deceived, all churches would be talking about the rapture and having the body ready to go.
Yes.
But since there's so much deception, Satan wants this to be a little topic.
Right.
And I saw something today. A guy was singing a song. No, he's saying about their breakthrough. And everybody in the church is going crazy. He was singing with Erykah Badu. It was and he had Erykah Badu and Common.
At a church?
At a church event. You had Christians there. And they're singing, your breakthrough is, it's time for your season, and it's your breakthrough time. And I'm like, see, that's it right there. They're actually having church. They don't know they're lukewarm.
Right.
They're having church, right? They're happy to see Erykah Badu. They want her autograph. They're Christians, and Erykah Badu is a self-proclaimed witch. She's a self-proclaimed, like, I practice this. And you got Christians there who invited her to sing a gospel song with a bishop. And Common, I know he's a rapper. He's supposed to be like clean rapper, but he's just as satanic as them.
Yeah.
But that's what you call lukewarm, okay?
Sherry said church has become a program.
It is a program. So now it's hard to tell the truth. Because people don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what makes them feel good, okay? That line is long. The truth line,
yeah.
A couple people in it. That line, long, right? I'd rather be in the short line, understand? Because Christ says very few are saved.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
I hope you guys understood Samech, okay? And why God made Samech 120. It is the first letter of that pertains to the bride, okay? The 120 still stands. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.